Okay, this is Alzheimer's, what they forget to tell you. I think episode 50, I think. See, normally Wendy keeps me on track with the numbers, and then, you know, she thinks I go through this thing, but I really forget. Kalina decided to come on today. I've been asking her to come on for a while, but she is actually ready now, so I'm happy that you're going to share your story now. And you can go ahead, take it away.
Okay, yes, you had been asking me, well, inviting me to come on and tell my story, and I kept putting it off, and next week will be better, so I finally called Karen the other day, and I was like, I'm not ready, because I don't want it to seem like a pity party or anything like that. So this is just, like, my experience, my personal experience for the grieving process I'm going through currently for my grandmother. I feel today just as bad as I did the day it happened.
And how long has it been?
The 28th will be the 2-month anniversary.
Okay. That's pretty fresh.
And so, like, during the day, it's kind of okay, you know? But it's like during the night is when your mind starts just playing tricks on you, and, like, I will have these scenarios, let's say my grandmother fell, and I stepped away for 1 second, and I'm like, I should not have stepped away. Why did I step away? Or I could have done so much more. Like, I just have, like, this guilt for some reason. And I know that when she was here, I did the best I could at the time. But at night, I just have these episodes. It's kind of like a PTSD or what is it?
PTSD. Yeah. Well, so, this is why I asked Kalina to come on, and I'm happy that she is on and explaining the aftermath, because this is exactly my point of when you are a caregiver, even for whatever period of time, when that becomes your whole world, like Kalina quit her job to take care of her grandmother, and now her grandmother has passed, and now she feels displaced. Like, so now she has to do her own grieving process, even though while her grandmother had the disease, she was slowly grieving the loss of her grandmother slowly, because Alzheimer's is like that. And now she has to reinvent herself. She has to figure out, besides her grieving, she has to figure out what to do next. Like, who is Kalina now, other than a caregiver? What does she do now?
Like, everything that I had ever done bad in my life, you know, those moments where you're like, God, why me? Like, everything made sense for those 3 years. Everything was like, everything in my life happened so I could be here in this moment for my grandmother.
Right.
Just like you said, and my life made sense. And now it's like, I'm having to make sense of, or find my, to find Kalina, find my passion, my, you know, just, I don't know, I'm lost for words. You know, when it comes to death, there's really, and the hardest thing that I went through was, one of the hardest things during the time was having to tell my daughter and knowing that there was nothing I could do to make her feel better.
Right.
You know, usually it's like, well, do you want to go shopping or get a new outfit? All I could do was just hold her. And there was, it's just everyone loses people and you grieve differently, and this is the first person in my life who I was so close with that has impacted me in such a way where it's really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she passed away, and everyone the next, whatever, Monday, went back to school, went back to work, and what I was doing left, and it's just,
well, it was your identity for so long, right?
You're right, yes. And I was so proud and so... And while she was here, you know, they said it's the longest goodbye. And, like, while she was here and had had Alzheimer's, I did miss her. Like, I missed our conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not dwell on that because I didn't want her to see me crying and think, oh, well, what did I do, or her be upset. So she was just in my sight, so I put that out of my mind.
Right.
So I didn't really go through that while she had Alzheimer's. Of course, I missed the conversations and things like that, but as long as she was in my sight and I could feel her, I wasn't... It wasn't until, like, afterwards. Like, even the day it happened, it didn't seem real. Even the funeral didn't seem real. But now it's like, she's really not coming back. Everything in my life that happened before, I knew that this was going to be, I could make it better. I would get a second chance. But this, no, she's never coming back. And I'm having a hard time with that. I don't know life without my Mimi.
No, it's understandable. It's very understandable. And I don't think... People, I don't, you know, you had said earlier that you're thinking that it's such a long time, but grieving is your own process, right? Like, it's up to you when you are ready and you've healed. And I always say, like, I've had a lot of loss in my life, and you don't really get over it. You just learn to live with it. It just gets a little bit easier over time to live with it, right?
Yeah, like, your dad passed away, my granddad passed away, and it didn't hit me like this, and I was as close to him as I was to her.
But were you caring for him?
No.
Maybe that's the difference.
Yes, maybe so. So, you know, this isn't like a pity party. Like I said, I just wanted to share my experience. And I've had some awesome friends who have helped me, like, get through the days, you know, like, just to be there for me. And I really appreciate them. I love you guys. You know who you are. And, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have my friends.
And some people, like, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because some people, this journey, as we like to call it, is very isolating, right? And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes along the way, you lose friends, not on purpose, just because they can't kind of understand what you're going through. Well, we both know it's such a, you know, a difficult and challenging journey that you alienate yourself and you isolate, and then you feel guilty, and then you feel resentful. Like, there's so many emotions that you go through on a daily basis. And then now that, like, I haven't gone through what you're going through yet, like, I will eventually. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to go through all of those things as well. Like, you're going to go bounce back to guilt, and then, you know, anger, and then bargaining, like, you know. It just seems like it's such a long journey. Like, yours was, what, 4 years?
Almost 4 years.
And, you know, and then I just look at mine, I'm like 18 going on 19, and it's like, okay, you know.
Yes.
And the last, I was talking about that with a friend of mine, that the last 3 years has felt like so tentative. Every day is like, I feel like, you know, like, okay, is today going to be the day? So I've lived sort of like with angst for like 3 years. Well, going on 3 years, right?
Oh, goodness. Yes. I cannot imagine that.
Well, even
the last 2 weeks, they told us it could be any minute, you know? So I cannot imagine that for 3 years.
I know, like, because, you know, you hope, and I know this sounds terrible to say, but it's the reality, but you hope that it follows the natural progression of the disease, which we both know is the last stage is typically swallowing. You know, they forget how to swallow. So then you know it's imminent, like, you know, because, you know, they're not eating. And I'm sure, just like Kalina, well, my mom has a DNR, so there's not going to be a feeding tube when that stage happens. So same as me. So, like, I will know, they'll be able to tell me that it will be within a, like, 2 week period or whatever. However, I've lived, because of my mom and she has seizures as well, I've lived like that, even though she's still eating. I've lived like, well, it's still, anything can happen between, like, she can develop pneumonia, which is another factor. She could have a heart attack. She could have a really bad seizure, because my mom suffers from that, where she just doesn't recover. So, like, every day, it's, like I said, I'm just on a tentative schedule. Like, okay. So even going to Vancouver, you know, last week, you know, I have to be, like, in and out. It's so, like, you know, you just don't want to get a call, and you have to make sure everything's in order, even for a short period of time. So
yeah, because you don't know if you're gonna get that call on your trip.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, I have to get back. How am I doing? Like, it's always like, you know, I always feel that it's it could be any time. So I know exactly. I don't know the other part of it, but I know this PTSD thing of, like, oh my God, you know. And so, and because when my mom started developing seizures, that, you know, was very stressful. And there's nothing you can do. You can't do anything to help. That's the other sad part.
The one thing that, you know, hospice was really good on, like, letting us know about how close she was, because it's just, like, a process.
Right.
And, like, she stopped swallowing, and, like, I remember, like, one of the last few nights, like, I remember praying to God, and if anyone is offended by this, then you don't have a good heart. What I mean is, I knew there was no quality of life left. I did not want my grandmother to suffer anymore. I just was like, please go ahead and take her, because you don't know what if they're suffering, if they're hurting. I didn't want her in pain. Her life was lived.
Right.
You know. And I just was worried, like, 24/7, and I could not. I know that you're like that doubled with, it's just I wish they could come up with a cure with this, like, yesterday. it's
devastating, sad. It tears families apart. It's just the cruelest thing ever.
Yeah. I agree. And, well, getting back to, I don't think people see the collateral damage that it causes. Like, it's not an isolated disease. It absolutely, like, from diagnosis, you know, it takes a team of people to be dedicated to that one person. And it's sad because you can't do anything. You just have to care for that, your loved one, but you really can't, you know, can't, there's no cure, so you can't really do anything.
Yeah.
And it's, but then it's to be cognizant of your self-care too, right? Like, so you have to now figure out, how do I remain strong? How do I remain mentally strong and emotionally strong and physically strong so that I can deal with, you know, like, you made a very valid point of, you couldn't break down in front of her. I had long periods of time with my mom at the beginning too, where I couldn't, you know, I couldn't even grieve at my dad's funeral. I couldn't even cry because, you know, that could send, you know, that's really bad if they go into any deep depression. So
did he have it when your dad passed away?
Yeah, she was diagnosed 14 months before. And so, yeah. You know, the first thing was, is like, you know, you have to be strong, because for her, because who knows if she'll stop crying, right? So, yeah. You know, it's like a lot of, and a lot of, that's why I said I, you know, I talk about it, the stoicism, like where you just can't show emotion, because they can read on that, and then they're already confused about a lot of things, so they don't know why you're crying, and then, right, you said, like, they'll think it's something they did, and it's like a, it's very emotional.
Yes, it is. And I know we're on a time limit, but same with my grandmother when my granddad passed. I remember my aunt telling me that she was like, what are we doing here? Or that's what my grandmother asked her, and then she was like, when can we leave? Like, she just didn't know what she was, you know? And for the longest, she would always ask about him, where he was. And so I would just say at work. I eventually stopped telling her. And just was like, oh, he's at work. He'll be home soon. But, so she didn't even remember going to the funeral. I'm sure your mom didn't either.
Probably not. Like, I know she knew he was gone, but I really don't think she understood, like, completely, like, afterwards. Right. I don't think, like, I think she knew, but, like, of course, I'm not going to keep bringing it up. But that's the other thing. Like, I couldn't grieve up to this day, and it's 17 years later. I have not been able to fully grieve for him because my life just, you know, catapulted into this Alzheimer world, and I didn't have time. And plus I had a child of my own. So, like you know. So you're just like balancing, constantly balancing.
Yes. Oh, and earlier I said it tears family apart. Tears families apart. It didn't tear my family apart. It just, you know what I mean? The anger. I was mad at the disease when I was saying it.
Well, like, it does, though. It does. It does build some resentment. It does. Like honestly, you do, you know.
It has its ups and downs.
Yeah.
And, you know. But in the end, it made us, we came together. We did what we had to do for our grandmother, our mother, and we were happy we did it, you know. But during the time, we did have our ups and downs, but that's what families do, right?
Yep. I know. One day I'll be talking about this. The other side.
Yeah.
The other side of Alzheimer's. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I just think, I'm very happy that you came on, and I know it took a long time for you to decide. But people have to know this part of it. We're trying to get Bill on, and he's still not ready. And I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, as you know, my platform is, I am totally sympathetic, obviously, with people who have the disease completely. However, you know, as we know personally, it really does affect the person caring for that loved one.
Yes.
And I think more people need to know these stories because nobody really talks about it, right? Because it's so stigmatized. So we need to, like, tell people, like, yeah, there's other people that are out there that, you know, need care too. Like, there needs to be care for the caregiver as well.
Yes.
So, okay, it's 21 minutes. I'm trying to do this, trying to keep to it. Like,
oh, I thought we were, like, 40 minutes past.
Well, that didn't include the outtakes. So, okay.
I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We'll get it one day, for sure.
Yes.
Okay, so... hopefully, you know, Bill comes on. If you want to talk even more, you can come again on next week if you want. It's up to you if you're feeling more comfortable. And thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Again.
Thank you for having me.
Always.
Sorry about the interviews.
That's okay. And I'm plodding away at this foundation, so hopefully I have something up and running this week. It's a work in progress.
Yes, I would like to hear about more about that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, thanks for watching, everybody. I can't really see because it's kind of sideways today. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Bye.
That was okay.
Yeah. I hate that you had to sit there and hold the phone like that.
That's all right. That's all right.